Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Every week on Connect the Dots, we connect the dots between your personal health and your total health environment. That includes everything that you can do to protect and safeguard and maintain and promote your health for yourself, for your community, for our society, and for the earth. And every week on Connect the Dots, we talk to different experts, thought leaders, scientists, advocates, and people who are expanding our vision of health, food, and the environment. I'm very psyched to have a return guest on today's show. He's someone who has been on the program before, and one of the things that I love to do is invite people back when what they are doing is really, you know, so kind of copacetic to everything the program is about. So it's my pleasure today to have on the show James Maskell. He's the CEO of Revive Primary Care, and right now as we speak, the Evolution of Medicine Summit, which he founded, originated, and mounted, is ongoing now. We'll be talking about that all throughout the program so that you can tune in. It's only day three of this fantastic offering that's free and available online to tune you into the future of healthcare. And that's what we're going to be talking about with James today. You know, I just want to say this is a topic very dear to my heart. Having toiled in the fields to promote an integrative, holistic approach to health for over two decades, you know, one of the things that has been so amazing is to see how people I've turned on to this kind of thing through the many great doctors and constantly evolving science have benefited from this kind of healthcare, and then the frustration that it can and should be available to everyone, but that so far, you know, hadn't happened. But it is happening, and thanks to brilliant organizers and impresarios like James Maskell and the Evolution of Medicine Summit, it's happening more and more, and that's what we're going to be celebrating and talking about on today's program. So welcome, James, to Connect the Dots.
Thank you, Allison. So great to be here with you and with your listeners.
Thank you. So let's just jump right in and talk a little bit about the Evolution of Medicine Summit so people, you know, can tune into it, and I'm sure many of my listeners will be interested. You know, what is the summit? When is it happening? And, you know, what's on offer, what's on tap just even today, for example, at the summit?
So, it's every day this week. It started on Monday and it goes through next Monday, and it's five speakers every day, and, you know, there are different topics each day. What we've done with this Evolution of Medicine Summit is something different that's been done before, Allison, because we have a track for patients and a track for doctors and health providers, and that's really because part of the evolution of medicine is that medicine is no longer going to be something that gets done to you. You know, this is the way that medicine has been for the last 100 years and more, is that, you know, it was the responsibility for taking care of the patient was on the doctor, and the patient was just sort of like a non-active participant in the process. And so we wanted to create something that would engage patients and doctors into this new paradigm of health, this new way of dealing with chronic disease that is proving very effective, and, you know, highlight to them some of the strategies of how patients can keep themselves healthy and sort of avoid the doctor, and then how doctors can deal with issues at the cause, at the causative level, and really get root cause resolution, which is at the sort of the core of the evolution of medicine. And, you know, functional medicine has been a big part of it, because that's something that's really coming into popularity right now. And we also have different focuses, different days. Today, Wednesday, as of a few minutes ago, we've clicked over to Wednesday's talks, and today's all about securing our evolution as a species. We're going to talk about holistic pediatrics. I know that's something that you're very passionate about, and looking at how we can keep our kids healthy. Tomorrow we've got a whole day on mind-body medicine with some of your friends like Deepak Chopra and Lynn McTaggart. Friday we have a day on the evolution of nutrition, and we're looking at paleo particularly, and some of the concepts behind what we were evolved to eat, which is, you know, becoming very, very popular. And then this weekend is really designed for medical practitioners. We've got 2 days dedicated to really trying to make it easy for doctors to learn about the new paradigms of medicine, the new systems of medicine, and the new delivery models of medicine that are proving effective in reducing chronic disease.
You know, that's a terrific lineup, and I just want to mention to my listeners here, our listeners, that, you know, you can tune in to today and all these upcoming events and follow any of these topics. It's free, and it's freely available at the Summit website, which is evolutionofmedicinesummit.com. But I also want to say that if any of the topics covered on day one or two, Monday and Tuesday, we had a kickoff event on Monday night at ABC Carpet, which I was privileged to be involved with, and very thrilled to be able to present the activist perspective on all of this, which is sort of my focus very much. But, you know, if you've missed those 2 days, although the summit is available going forward for free this for the entire rest of the week, which is 5 more days, but if you've missed the earlier 2 days, or if you want to have this great information, you can also get, you know, CDs and DVDs of it at the same site. But if you want to just tune in and listen for free, you can do that too. So don't feel that, you know, in tuning in here on day three that you have missed anything necessarily. I just wanted to mention something, you know, in mentioning ABC and the kickoff event, which was live and very well attended, and a great group of healers and doctors and amazing people in the room. And one of the things, you know, having tracked all of integrative medicine and all of that for many, many years, you know, one of the things that really just, you know, amazed me to see it happen. You know, we've heard for many years about self-care, personal empowerment for your health, personal, you know, taking that into your own hands, and you know, knowing what to do for yourself, and learning that from the health educators and doctors who are able to offer that information. But, you know, I've never seen it in action quite so directly. Usually I've attended and been, you know, I don't know how many health conferences, actual medical trainings for years and years and years and years and years. And, of course, one of the ironies is, you know, every person can be, you know, have an expertise in this area, and some have very highly specialized expertise in the area. But every single living person is also, you know, someone who has to look out for their health, could have vulnerabilities in terms of their own individual health predisposition. And I don't like to use the word patient, but, you know, we're all kind of sometimes in need of advice, or sometimes in need of solutions. And, you know, and so in some sense, everyone is also potentially, let's say, a patient as well. And so, therefore, you know, we both kind of look up to these doctors and health leaders for the information they provide, but it also, you know, replicates a kind of dependent relationship. And I've noted that for years, and I've always looked for solutions where I can learn from the best, but then, you know, kind of do it myself and offer it to others and all of that. Well, a woman in the audience at your event, you know, on Monday, James, you know, raised her hand and said, "I'm a patient. Can anyone help me?" And I don't, you know, and she was basically appealing to the doctors who were presenting on the stage at that time. I don't think I've attended any health event where someone hasn't raised a hand and made a similar request. It happens on, you know, on television, online as well, if there's an interviewer. You know, the first thing is percolating in the back of everyone's mind is like, what can I do? You know, how can someone help fix me, kind of thing, you know? And what was so amazing was that when she asked that question, instead of the standard reply, which would usually be, "Oh, well, my dear, come to my office and see me," instead, because of the information revolution around this, that this summit is creating and that you're part of, and the sense of empowerment that comes from that, other people in the room, some of them practitioners, many not, just sort of jumped up and were like, "Oh, well, here's what you can do." You know, it was like people helping people. you know, kind of relying on doctors and scientific expertise in the right way, but not using it to become kind of helpless and overly dependent. And so instead, the responses were other people modeling how to be empowered and how to use this. And to me, that's the product of this. That's really the further evolution of the empowerment message, and it's also the product of the information revolution. And one of the things that I really have to salute you for is that you are expanding that and creating a much bigger opportunity through getting this information out there through the summit and just through your overall vision, through your core business, which is Revive Primary Care, which I'd like you to tell listeners a little bit about as well, you know, how we can use the internet, reach out, and really empower people to get the help they need and to take care of themselves as they want. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, maybe Revive Primary Care is a good starting point here, Allison. I mean, you know, our goal, what we see out in the marketplace right now, and I'm sure your listeners would have some experience of this, is that primary care is the first port of call in the medical system. And at the moment, I don't see a lot of value being delivered in primary care. You know, certainly emergency care, America's very good at that, but in primary care for sort of non-acute symptoms, we don't have a very good system because you go to primary care, you have a few five-minute visit, and then either you're, you know, given a drug to suppress the symptoms, or you're passed on to a more expensive specialist in a particular area. Now, also you have to understand that the sort of integrity of the primary care relationship is also under threat because you know, the people that get leads from primary care, the hospital systems and so forth, are seeing that it is the first port of call and they need to control that. So you've seen hospital systems and bigger organizations buy primary care practices to ensure the leads into their systems, the rheumatologist and the gastroenterologist and so forth. And so what you end up with is a situation where there's no value being delivered at primary care, and no one's any the wiser as to what they're meant to do anyway. There's no information on TV, you know, anything like that. So what we've done with Revive Primary Care is to say two things. One, there are four major ways in which you can avoid, prevent, and, you know, and start to reverse the causes of chronic disease and avoid these four causes of chronic disease. And I'll just go through them quickly. Diet is an obvious one, and that's becoming more and more clear. Every fork that are full of food that you eat is either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. The only thing that's neutral is water. And basically, you know, if you're eating something that doesn't have a fork, you don't require a fork to eat, it's probably inflammatory. So that's one, diet. Stress is the second one. You know, it's driving 75% of these primary care visits is over stress, and whether it's, you know, all kinds of stress in our environment and the way that we take care of it, stress and diet. And I don't think anyone would sort of, you know, everyone I think knows that, but they, you know, taking action on it is another thing, and that's why we provide support on what action to take with those two areas. And then the third is something that I know that's very important to you, Allison, and something that's actually featured very heavily on the summit today is toxicity, because, you know, I think it's a funny situation in America where we would understand that there's acute toxicity, you know, like someone who lives close to Chernobyl, or, you know, people who have been in Vietnam with Agent Orange, or, you know, DDT, acute DDT exposure in America. But chronic low-level toxicity built up over a period of time, because it's more like a negative externality, it doesn't get the, you know, the press that it deserves. And now we see that we have ridiculously toxic children. We're all ridiculously toxic, and it's taking a toll on our health. And so toxicity is a third one, and there are definitely ways that you can reduce your own toxicity through your own choices. And just like you said on Monday night, we do need to get involved in this to a bigger degree, because there are some choices that aren't ours to make, like the air we breathe and the, you know, what's coming in through the water and so forth. And that, so that's the third one. And just as a quick shout out today, I've got on the summit Latham Thomas, who did a book with the Environmental Working Group on how to avoid toxins in pregnancy. And she's doing a talk with Penelope Schaefer, who made a book called, made a film called Toxic Baby, which is, there's an amazing TED talk. So they're both on today. So that would be a good thing to listen to. And then the fourth modifiable factor. So we've got diet, stress, toxicity. The fourth is what I call immunity. And again, this was brought up on Monday night. And what I refer to in immunity is that we now know, and even if you're watching the US Open, you know that 70% of your immune system is in your gut. And I was really excited to see these probiotic commercials on the US Open, you know, just informing millions of people at the same time that this new science that 70% plus of your immune system's in the gut. So how do we increase our immunity? We make sure that we have a non-permeable gut, and there's lots of strategies that you can use to repair the gut. And we make sure that we're getting adequate interaction with microbes. And that means, you know, being in nature, opening a window, not just living inside where, not just being inside all the time where there's not as many microbes. We need these good, healthy microbes for our health. So our plan with Revive Primary Care is, how do we add the most value in primary care? First of all, we tell people what to do in the 167 hours a week in the time that they're not in the office. And we encourage them to identify these four causes of chronic disease and how they're impacting them and how to reduce them. And then we put them in touch with a doctor that has a proven track record of working with these causes and helping to work at this causative level. So we have functional medicine doctors, holistic doctors, naturopathic doctors, and we put them at the front and say, hey, this is the people that you should probably be, you know, dealing with your healthcare first. If you have bigger, more acute problems, we have a great medical system for that. But if we're trying to make a dent in chronic disease, it's going to be a partnership between the patient and doctor. And the doctors that know how to have that kind of partnership and are developing that are the kind of doctors I just mentioned.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a wide range there. And there are also some health coaches, holistic nurses, nutritionists. There's a whole support team, depending upon where you are. Like right now, there's just a huge gap if people, don't access these kinds of services. Because, you know, most people go along going, okay, I hope I'm fine, day in, day out, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, la, 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 la. And then suddenly when a symptom strikes, when there's a downturn in function, when something happens with our health, then we're sort of casting about. And, there's, if you follow merely the conventional approach, there's nowhere to go other than, you know, now I'm sick and now I'm getting medications and now I'm getting surgery. So the whole point of this is intervening earlier. If there's just some lowered energy, if you're not digesting things that well, if there are allergies, depression, sleeplessness, weight gain, there's a whole host of different symptoms that kind of grind on and undermine your quality of life and slowly eat away at your health. And so the point is that there are options other than I wait till it's a full-blown disease and then, you know, I deal with it through surgery or some other means. Instead, you wouldn't not brush your teeth for 5 years. You wouldn't leave dishes piling up in the sink. But on the other hand, we kind of just try to ignore our health and trust that it will be there for us in the same way that we, kind of trust the earth will just be there for us no matter what we do or how we act. So kind of educating and aligning our actions to support our health, to support the earthly ecology, to help make a better society if we don't like what's going on that we see and we think it's getting a little scary or dangerous. You know, it's always better to do it sooner than later. And, as I was delivering the activist message to the group, a lot of people came up to me afterward and said, that was wonderful. Thank you. We've been thinking of this and so good that someone brought that in. They were so happy that this is really part of your overall vision, James, which I know it is. But there were some people who were kind of like, well, why were you talking about that? but it's all the same thing. It's all, taking an initiatory stance, a kind of entrepreneurial stance. And I think that's also one of the reasons why I love the summit in your work, because you are modeling how to kind of marry entrepreneurism with a healthy, health-oriented, caring attitude. You know, the two are aligned and unified in you. And I see them throughout the summit and in the people that you are featuring in the summit. And I think, it's just the right attitude. If we kind of just sit around and we don't, you know, kind of put our hands on the driver's wheel and do the right things for our health, if we don't, you know, do the right things for our society, then, you know, we're creating downturn, you know, in many, 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 many different directions. And both your energy and your vision and this summit are really creating a lot of uplift and potential, and other people can get involved as well. One of the things I loved that you spoke about Monday night, James, was that the fact that that because of the great health need that we have in our country and the poor health of so many people, there's actually a lot of room and need for people to kind of join this healthcare evolution. Could you speak about that? Because I'm sure there are listeners in this audience that would love to hear about, you know, that opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this is a key point. And, you know, I went from being, I was straight out of university, I was an investment banker for a year. I sort of had a crisis of conscience and decided 9 years ago to join this field because I felt like, you know, I could step back and objectively see that this, you know, that there was more value being delivered in this field, you know, to other people and to society. And so that's why I joined. And it's been an amazing ride, and there's not one day that goes by that I'm not absolutely glad that I did that, and I can do something that I really care about and something that you know, I love to do. And I just feel, you know, from speaking to people in the last 9 years, there are a lot of people that don't like their job or are just doing their job to make money. And, you know, I feel like if this evolution is going to occur, it's going to take everyone. It's going to take, you know, community leaders. It's going to take, you know, doctors and patients and, you know, other people. And so, you know, there's really lots of different ways to get involved if you want to improve the health in your community. You know, we always say you've got to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you help someone else.
Right.
You know, you can't, you have to help yourself first. And so, you know, taking care of your own health is huge and gives you so many lessons to be able to, you know, start to work with other people. You know, in the summit today, we have Dr. Alejandra Carrasco, who talks about the family unit as an engine of sustainable change. You know, she really feels like that, you know, once you have yourself, then you can really use the family. You know, you can't have one kid who's gluten-free and the rest of the family croissants every morning, right? You need to be able to, you know, make them feel accepted and happy within a family unit. And so that's, you know, that's the next step. And then outside the family, you know, there's bigger families and bigger communities. And we're seeing so many people like the Institute of Integrative Nutrition here in New York. They must have had, you know, hundreds of thousands of health coaches that have signed up with them. And these are people that in some cases have another job and just want to learn on the side or want to, you know, play a part in this industry and aren't sure what to do. And, you know, what we're seeing is that anyone who is becoming a payer of health services, whether it be government or business or even people, are realizing that they want to get value from their healthcare interactions. You know, people are starting to act like consumers. People haven't been consumers in healthcare for a long time because they haven't had to pay the cost because it's all been covered by insurance. And now more and more people are having to pay it out of pocket because they've got the high deductible care from Obamacare, or they're, you know, just paying cash, or, you know, they've already, you know, they haven't met their deductible yet on their plan. And so people are starting to look for value. And that's why on one hand, you see the rise of things like CityMD, where you have these like pop-up doc in the box where it's cheap and you can go and you're not interacting with the whole medical system. And then on the other side, you see this flurry of people for non-acute care going to functional integrated medicine and naturopathic medicine. And so that's, you know, what we see. And so what I would say to anyone who's listening is there are so, you know, this is still, we're still very much in the early adopters phase. You know, it's what we call functional medicine right now, and Mark Hyman says this very clearly, this will just be called medicine in 5 years. This will just be the way that we deal with chronic disease, and it'll just be, you know, every medical center and so forth will have a functional medicine center because this is proving itself to be a strategy that is effective at dealing with chronic disease and chronic chronic disease is the biggest burden to the American economy and to the world economy. And so, you know, solutions to this problem are the most important thing that are out there. And that's why we're looking to proliferate it. So I would say if you're listening to this, it could be as simple as volunteering, you know, a couple hours a week to help some other people make food or, you know, help to distribute food or help to get healthy food into different communities. I heard about an amazing project the other day between Fox. Fox has got the right to the 2016 Soccer World Cup. And so between now and 2016, they're putting in thousands of, like, soccer pitches in underdeveloped areas around the country, and then they're using those soccer pitches and the kids that come to it as an opportunity to, you know, talk about good nutrition and eating vegetables and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, on the corner of innovation, you know, once it becomes an engine of capitalism to start to try and reduce chronic disease and try and do these kind of things, I think we have a lot of things working in our favor and we'll start to see this accelerate. But, you know, certainly working on smaller projects in the community, becoming a health coach, going back to school to become a naturopath, all of these positions are going to be in massive demand in 1 to 5 years. And I would just say to anyone that's listening that wants to have a new career and wants to be, you know, part of this evolution of medicine, part of this sort of return to or setting a new template for a new system that could really help to reduce chronic disease or is proving that, there's still time. And I would just say anyone who I know that has gone through the journey of going from doing a job because they, you know, they just do it to doing a job that they love, that is the biggest point of empowerment and transformation in everyone. And I would just encourage anyone that is sort of thinking about it and wants to do it to just pull the trigger and go for it, because there's, you know, there's going to be a massive need for these types of professionals in the future medical system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, the other thing that I was fascinated to see, because I just want to also mark this moment, because, you know, now we have multiple generations of people that have been working on this transformation and evolution of healthcare. And this week, in fact, the very night, day that, you know, we launched the summit and the event there where we were gathered, you know, one of our great pioneers passed away that day, and I actually almost felt like she was sending us a blessing. And I had the honor to work with her personally, so I just want to remember and recognize her and, you know, send our gratitude to her this week. And that is Mary Enig, who was the pioneering fats researcher back in the early 60s after the whole anti-cholesterol, anti-fat, low-fat diet campaign, which we now know retrospectively led to the obesity epidemic, had been launched by, you know, on one thin twig of science, you know, as sometimes happens where we study one thing but don't see the whole big picture. And Mary Enig, very early on, she was a pioneer. She did see the full picture, and she saw the damage to her health created by trans fats. She was critiqued. She was ostracized. Industry attacked her. Her colleagues shunned her. She continued to do the research. She continued to write. I regard her, you know, as one of the grandmothers of this whole movement, and she was out there by herself. Nobody was cheering her on. There was no internet. She persisted, and she was proven right. She lived to see the rollback on trans fats, their removal from our foods. You know, we still are working to recover from that very misguided message with things like the paleo diet and you know, just changing our whole understanding of what really nutritional building blocks and we need for health and immunity. But she was, you know, early on, she was 83 years old when she passed this week. I was fortunate to work with her and Sally Fallon on, you know, Eat Fat, Lose Fat, a kind of healthy fat diet book very early on, about a decade ago. You know, and since then, you also have at the summit, you know, all throughout the week, a lot of the great pioneers, Leo Galland, Mark Hyman, and, you know, gradually the movement has grown, so it's now not just one person kind of raising the flag with everyone going, I don't know what you're talking about, but, you know, the Weston A. Price Foundation was another early organization. There were a lot of the doctors and the people that you're featuring, you know, who James Gordon was at the event, another great pioneer who helped educate people over the last 30 years, Andrew Weil, Deepak Chopra, all of the people. And now it's growing and growing. And one of the things that really, and it's really ready to move on out there in a way that I think will become not just a whole mass of individuals, almost half of all Americans avail themselves of some form of care, but actually a real movement that will change and penetrate the healthcare system, which I think people have wanted for a long time but not been able to affect. And what I see with James, with you and your generation and some of the new physicians and coaches and practitioners that are coming in and that are presenting at this summit, is that now with the internet and there are new business models, there are ways for all of this to really come about and become the as Mark Hyman predicted, what we call healthcare. And just, you know, I didn't go as far back as Mary. She was one of my teachers. But, you know, I think we're doing Mary proud. We're doing Mary Enoch proud. And the new generation is bringing in a lot of value. I see the Revive Primary Care and the Evolution of Medicine Summit as really creating great breakthroughs and expansions in this regard. And, of course, we're here on the radio network of Gary Null, one of the very, very, the first health educator journalist that was out there back in the day, you know, educating people, screaming himself hoarse, kind of trying to wake everyone up with his early radio programs and books and all. So this is a multi-generational movement, and I am deeply, deeply, deeply touched by that. We are not supposed to go to dead air ever on a radio show, but I would just like everyone during the break, which we're going to take a break for station identification now before we come back with more wonderful talk with James Maskell about the Evolution of Medicine Summit. I would like listeners, please stay with us for the break and come back for the rest of the show. And during the break, if you don't want to hear the other announcements, you know, just kind of turn down your sound a little bit, and I'd like to ask three things, or one, you can do any or all of them. One is to send our love and blessings to Mary Enig on her journey, wherever that might be, and comfort to the family that loved her. Second, I have two people that I love and value very much who are experiencing some health challenges, and I would appreciate your love, blessings, if you believe in prayer, if you believe in intention, whatever good thoughts you can send to my two friends, I would much appreciate during the break. Their names are Sarah and Steve. And Sarah's on the West Coast. Steve is here on the East Coast. Wonderful people of great heart experiencing health challenges. Any good wishes for health and recovery that you feel in your heart, please send to them during the break. Stay with us, and we'll be right back with James Maskell. Welcome back, listeners, to the second half of Connect the Dots. We're talking today with James Maskell, the impresario and visionary behind the Evolution of Medicine Summit. I always say at this portion of the show, thank you for coming back. If you enjoyed the first half of the show, please pass it along to your friends. Like us on iTunes. If you're just tuning in and you missed the first half of the show, it will be available beginning later today and ongoing through the Connect the Dots archives, and you can listen to the whole show, re-listen to it. Also, and I'm just going to take a sip of a healing tea here, because my throat is sounding a little rough there. You know, there's more actions that you can do today if you're enjoying this program. Namely, you can go and tune in to the Evolution of Medicine Summit. We're on day three. There are five more days to go. Terrific opportunities. We've been discussing them throughout the show. EvolutionofMedicineSummit.com. That's where you go to tune in. And we are going back to our conversation with the James Maskell, who organized this fantastic event designed to really bring integrative medicine, functional medicine, healthy and natural medicine, self-care options and approaches and prevention into mainstream health for us all to avail ourselves of. So, you know, James, why don't you, let's go back to the summit, and maybe you could give our listeners a few highlights of what is happening today as well as upcoming days that they may want to tune into as the week goes on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been, you know, I actually recorded more like 45 sessions, and 35 made it into the summit because I just, you know, I had a limit on 35, but I wanted to make, you know, just the content as great as possible. You know, today I think is a huge day just because I'm really passionate about environmental pediatrics and understanding the role of the environment into these problems that are, you know, causing one in six kids to be developmentally delayed. If you add up allergies and all of the chronic health conditions and skin issues and eczema and so forth, if you add all of those up, we have about one in two kids in America that has some sort of chronic issue. And, you know, even if you look at something like autism, you know, the cost of these kinds of diseases on society are going to be so great that it's going to bankrupt, you know, every industrialized Western nation. And so I think this is, you know, of huge importance. You know, tomorrow, obviously Deepak Chopra is a big name. We have a whole day, you know, we have a session dedicated to changing habits and looking at cravings and that kind of thing. But another person who's on tomorrow is Gabe Hoffman, who's my co-founder of the Functional Forum. And, you know, what he's talking about is empowerment and how empowerment can be delivered in the medical system. You know, most people think of empowerment happening, you know, through listening to shows like this or, you know, being involved in, you know, finding ways to understand, you know, how to have an empowered relationship with your health. And Gabe tomorrow really takes it through the different steps that are necessary for doctors and health providers to actually empower people to change their lives and what that takes. And it's not just as simple as telling people what to do. If it was, you know, we probably would have got there by now. Because there's, you know, there's been a lot of people with a lot of advice over time. And what we're trying to do with this, Alison, is a bit different. It's just really trying to start a conversation with people into this topic. So, you know, we don't think that we have all the answers, but we know that if we can start a conversation, we can get there, you know, to a sustainable point more quickly. So empowerment is the new compliance. I think on Friday, there's some great stuff. You know, we have two talks that are really on paleo. We've got Terry Walls, who, if you've seen her TED talk, she's had like 2 million views on that. She recovered from autoimmune disease, MS. You know, she went from being in a wheelchair to being very sprightly and lecturing and traveling through a massive change of diet and eating only what she was evolved to eat. And Chris Kresser is also on the Paleo Day, and he's talking about how essentially we don't need to just eat what our ancestors ate because we have evolved since then. And he talks about sort of like the evolution of paleo. We also have Daryl Edwards speaking on Friday, and he's talking about the evolution of fitness and exercise. You know, it's strange that we have in our culture now, Alison, that the way that people exercise is to drive 20 minutes to the gym and stuck in traffic to park in the gym, get changed, sit on a stationary bike, and just, like, pedal away in the air conditioning. And what he really talks about is really coming back to, you know, that works for a certain subset of people, but it's obviously not working for the majority of people because, mm-hmm. you know, we have epidemics of obesity and so forth that exercise can go a long way. So Daryl comes from this point of, he's another English guy, he comes from this point of really thinking about it in evolutionary terms and looking at play. You know, how can we encourage play? How can we encourage fitness working into our everyday lives in all kinds of situations, not just, you know, in the gym or otherwise? And I think that's going to be very profound. And if you're anyone like me who has not been the kind of person that would just, you know, exercise for joy at all times, this is something that I think you'll really get a lot out of. Yeah, then, you know, then we get into the weekend summit. And what I would hope is that if you're listening to this and, you know, please ask your doctor if the evolution of medicine summit weekend might be right for them, because this is a groundbreaking moment, I feel like, where the information that's going to be shared this weekend that's for doctors, anyone can listen, you know, anyone who's listening can listen. But what I would just say is that you know, this is really important for doctors. So on Saturday, we have a day dedicated to the practical delivery of this kind of care. One of the big issues that that we've seen and that have been highlighted by a lot of people is that at the moment, the kind of care that I'm talking about, seeing a functional doctor, is typically something that is not available through your regular medicine. It's not like a doctor could just start doing this. They need to be trained in functional medicine. And most doctors don't take insurance who do it, or otherwise haven't got a model that makes it affordable, because they, you have to take an hour with patients, and you can't, you know, that there's no insurance code for that. And so what we've got on Saturday is Dr. Mark Hyman really giving a, you know, the keynote address as to why functional medicine is the future of chronic disease management, and it's amazing. And then we have three other talks dedicated to the actual models, potential models that are actually delivering this type of care to the middle of the bell curve of America. So Dr. Shilpa Saxena, this is amazing. She has developed this group visit model, Allison, that I think can revolutionize chronic disease management in this country. You know, imagine 16 people with irritable bowel being treated together in a group, right? First of all, if you're in a group, you know, there's value in the group dynamic, right? There's people want to hear from other people who have the same disease, and they want to understand how they're coping and how they're living, and we can spread best practices. Secondly, it works at scale. So you can actually have 16 people in the same group, and you can then, you know, bill 16 insurances at the same time, so it scales for the doctor. Three, you then have the accountability support, like similar to AA or some of these kind of organizations that work like that, where you now have, you know, people getting together outside of their appointments to be able to support themselves. My mother-in-law lost 110 pounds last year or 2 years ago, and the only thing that changed was she had to call someone every day to tell them what she ate. And just that little bit of accountability made all the difference to her, because she knew she was going to have to call and be accountable to someone else. So the group visit model, I think, has so much potential, because it's good for patients and it's good for doctors. And I think that when you're dealing with lifestyle-based diseases, which the majority of chronic diseases are, a group dynamic is really powerful. And I think we're just seeing, like, you know, again, we're just at the beginning of working out these new models. But Dr. Shilpa Saxena on Saturday, you know, if you have a doctor or a nurse or a dietitian or anyone you know that this model is perfectly set up for any health professional to deliver amazing care. And it could be done on insurance, and it could also be done very cheaply outside of insurance. You know, you could have a $30 visit, you know, and 16 people, and that's $480 for the practitioner. You know, that could work in a lot of different situations, and, you know, could work outside of the insurance system too. So that's one, the group visit model. Two.
Well, I just want to interject with that too, because I think this is also incredibly consistent with the theme with which we, you know, we talked very early on in the show when you came on board here today, which is patient empowerment, human empowerment, empowerment for our health. So getting together in community with other people who are experiencing a life challenge, or as I did at the show break, you know, creating a community around any friend or loved one, family member who's going through a health challenge, which happens all the time, is also very powerful. Of course, you know, like, you know, I described at the end of this last half hour that, you know, I have two friends going through health challenges. Neither of them is in my locale. I can't go over there and bring the soup and, you know, do all the stuff that neighbors can do. But, you know, sometimes you are in the place where you can bring the soup. Sometimes you're in the place where you can send the good wishes, hold the hand, listen and hear about it. This is something that I think professionals can lead and educate, but we all can do. And so, and you know, it's part of, you know, we pay into Social Security and we hope that it won't be canceled and it'll come back to us one day. But also contributing and being part of the human community, and being there for others is also an incredible thing that anyone can do, and it's an investment in the people we care about and in ourselves and our own health and well-being. So I just want to, and this is also part of, I think, the challenge that Dr. Gabe Hoffman made of, you know, figuring out what you're here for. And one of the things that I think we're all here for, and if we have any questions or doubts about, you know, what we're here for, we're kind of all here in some ways to serve. So if we all kind of, instead of going, well, I'm just going to run and run and run and do this and someone will take care of me, which is the approach that we've had, we go, well, I'm, you know, going to help put my life mask on, but also, you know, to whatever degree I can that is fits in with my life and non-depleting, I can serve others. This is also something that, you know, the power of the community to heal. And that's also what you're creating through the summit by bringing people together. It's not just dueling practitioners giving their advice. This is a community, and it's an ever enlarging and growing one.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly the direction that we're, you know, we're going with this, Alison. And, yeah, I mean, the community is so powerful. And, you know, there is so much of medicine that is actually not delivered by the medical system. Like you said, the friend around the corner that brings you soup when you're sick, you know, that's not part of medicine. But, like, if we can foster more of that, I think we can reduce the actual interaction with medicine. That's huge. And, by the way, you know, with these group visits, you know, some now physicians are adding on. So, okay, on Saturday, we're going to do 5 group visits in a row from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. And then that whole day, we've got the farmer's market outside the clinic. They come there. You know, you've got all these people coming through anyway. You know, you've got other booths and stuff set up, and it becomes a community center to be able to understand healthy life and to be able to interact with it. So there's so many ways that we can build on top of that, those type of systems as well. I do want to just mention the two other methods that day. So Dr. Frank Lippmann, who was there on Monday night and spoke, he's a doctor with 6 health coaches in his practice, and he just sees that, you know, if you're a doctor and you're just giving diet recommendations, and those diet recommendations are just adding to a big list of stuff that patients know they need to do but just aren't doing, I don't think you're really helping in a certain way, because you're not helping them to actually take action. And that's why Frank's health coaches are so valuable, because he's been able to say, okay, this is what we need to go, this is the direction we need to do, and here's the health coach who's actually going to help you to make those changes and to understand how to implement this stuff into your life. So health coaches. And then the third is telemedicine. Dr. Jeff Blatt. If you know any doctors that are struggling with their model and feel like they're owned by the system or are stuck in the system, they have to listen to Jeff Blatt. This is a doctor that has built something very special in rural Indiana. He's done it in a way that, you know, is community-based, but it's really focused on the health and the needs of the doctor and of the patients. And he's using technology in a really smart way, whereby, you know, you can interact with the doctor over sort of a HIPAA-compliant Skype visit from home, so you don't even need to go into the doctor's office a lot. You can book him in smaller increments for quick questions in those sort of systems. And again, same sort of empowerment, using different providers, doing a lot of education online about food and helping people cook and look at those kind of things. So that day would be a huge day for everyone. On Sunday, we have a whole day dedicated to the brain and gut and immune system and the new science behind that and its implications for basically all of medicine, because the gut is so important. And then on Monday, you can sort of vote for the favorite talks that you had throughout the week. But the one talk that is on Monday is Joe Cross, who's from the film Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And Joe is extremely inspiring. 20 million people have seen his film. And his call to action is that we've all been outsourcing our health, to doctors, to the food system, to, packaged and consumer foods. And it's time to re-insource your health and really take responsibility for it yourself. And he's a great example of that. You know, he's just sort of like an everyman. He's got great advice for patients who want to, you know, get healthy, but also he's got great advice for people that want to help other people, because he really gives good advice about, preaching and listening and, you know, what are the difference between the two and how to actually have empathy for people and help them move down their own health journey.
That sounds great. What a fantastic lineup. So people, you can go to evolutionofmedicinesummit.com, sign up, it's completely free, and you can tune in at any time of day from wherever you are online to the programs that interest you, watch them all if you want to save them for later, and, you know, sort of... watch them at your leisure or have them as a record or study them, you know, in depth. You can also purchase them. But they're available totally free this week, and you can, you know, watch them at any time of day that they're aired. I'm using an old broadcast term there, that they're available. So it's evolutionofmedicine.summit.com, EVOLUTION. So, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity when the show is over, and, you know, these are really great opportunities, great people, whether you're a healthcare practitioner or just an ordinary person. And we're coming down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Before we go back to James Maskell, who has masterminded this amazing event, I want to give a shout-out for an action that we can all participate in this week in order to actually, it's an action that protects exactly what we're talking about. This program is reaching you via the internet. This wonderful summit is being delivered to you via the internet. Many of us let others know via the internet and social media of terrific events like this that are happening. A whole lot of visionary and creative people are reaching out and building audiences and going around some of the mainstream roadblocks in order to deliver the kind of health information and activist information that we all need via the internet. So today we can do something preventative to protect internet and our internet access. And we've talked about this on the program before. We did a couple of programs. If you're interested, they're in the Connect the Dots archive on net neutrality. You know, we did one with Margaret Flowers. We did one with Stan Sorcher. And so you can check back to the Connect the Dots archives to learn more in depth about net neutrality. It's a terrible phrase. John Oliver said it means basically taking action on to assure net neutrality means don't let them take over the internet, corporatize it, and take it out of our hands. If there are, you know, laws that people are trying to get passed that would create an elite and underclass divide on the internet, which would mean that the majority of people that were not big corporations selling their mass products would be getting slower internet service, which would make all of the things that we are now enjoying and take for granted much harder to do. So let's, as our action for today, protect net neutrality. Today is September 10th is the day we're doing that. You go to battleforthenet.com, www.battleforthenet.com, and you can sign up and get an email. They'll send you a code, and you put that code on your Facebook page, your website, your blog, wherever else, to signal we're waiting for it to load signal that we get when, you know, something's loading slowly, because we'll all be experiencing that if we don't take action on net neutrality. So this is a big action for that purpose. You'll also probably be invited to do a couple of other things. Go to battleforthenet.com to assure the basic roadways through which this program and the Evolution of Medicine Summit are reaching you, and the ways that we reach each other. So, James, just very brief final words as we're coming to the end of the show. What would you like our listeners to go away with today?
Just that, you know, I said it the other day, you know, if you're interested in this type of care and you've been interested in this a long time, and I know if people have been listening to you for a long time, Alison, they are, we just got to stop acting like we're losing and start acting like we're winning. We are winning. This is the future of chronic disease management. Big organizations are coming around to it, and people who have known this for a long time, their value in the future of healthcare is much higher than it's ever been. Start acting like it. Start taking action. Start being part of it. You know, myself and my organization would love to, you know, see how we can work with anyone that's passionate about this. There's a place for everyone to work. We're trying to get the right people in the right seats on the bus to really take this forward. And if you're listening to this today and it really, you know, you want to be a part of it, there is a great part for you to play, and you just have to step up and start taking action. So we're here. I really appreciate the opportunity to come onto your show. As ever, Alison, I appreciate your hard work over the last few decades on these topics, and it's exciting to see that we're really starting to get some good forward momentum with it.
Yes, and thank you, James, for everything you're doing. It is an absolute thrill. There's nothing like being in early and watching something grow and grow and grow and seeing the potential for it to grow further, and then just what you're kind of at the time of life where you're going, I may not see it in my lifetime, you know, if I don't live to be 100 kind of thing, to have this fabulous wave of creative, talented people come along, and you lead the pack in my estimation, to make our dreams become a reality of really having the right kind of healthcare available for everyone. So thank you so much. Good luck with the summit. Listeners, tune in. Evolution of Medicine Summit after this show. Thank you for being with me today and with us this week on Connect the Dots. And we'll be back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week, with the next edition of Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy. Be healthy. Mahu alewe, mahu.